You're listening to the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast brought to you by LifeTeen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
My family, it's always good to be with you. I have some exciting news for any of you that spend time on our LifeTeen.com website. You may have noticed, and if you haven't been there a few days, you may not have, that our whole archive of our old XLTs, which I know that I've gotten emails from all over the world. I know many of you a few years back used to listen to XLT online all the time. For those of you who are not familiar with it, XLT stands for Exalt. And it's awesome praise and worship music. There'll be a talk or a different message each week. And these were recorded live a few years back, but there was such a tremendous response when they used to be on the website and so many people asking us to get them back up. They're there for your edification, for your enjoyment, and hopefully to help lead you even closer to the Lord. So get by LifeTeen.com, check out our XLT archive, hours of awesome worship and great messages just waiting for you, just a click away. But that's not the point of this podcast. As we know, we're here to get into the Word, so let's do it. This week, we're taking a look at our 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, our first reading from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Our responsorial psalm from Psalm 80, verses 9, and then verses 12 through 16, and 19 and 20. Our second reading, again, from Philippians, this time chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And our gospel from St. Matthew, we have yet another parable, chapter 21, verses 33 through 43. Now, you're going to hear a lot about vineyards this week, and if you've never worked in a vineyard, it's really a beautiful place to work. I mean, I've never actually worked in a vineyard, but I've walked around vineyards quite a bit, and they're beautiful. And when you learn about the theology of the grape, you know, what a grape has to go through, I mean, in terms of the waiting and the seasons and the longing, and there's a huge process. And when you work in a vineyard, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of patience, and it can be backbreaking. And you have to rely on a lot of different factors to get the right kind of grape. But what ends up happening through all these seasons is that you have to be faithful, that you have to be, you know, tenacious, you have to be disciplined, and you have to wait on the Lord. And the Lord ultimately has a plan, but you have to be willing to wait on it and to see it through. But rather than talk about vineyards and about the process of the grape and of wine and that sort of a thing, I wanted to focus on one other thing this week, and that is this question. What more would God have to do for you to finally trust him with everything? Now, I'm not saying this assuming that you don't trust God, because obviously you're into your faith. You're into your faith walk, or you would not take time to listen to a podcast every week. So this is not an assertion that, like, hey, you're doing something wrong. But I think every one of us would say that we follow God pretty well, that we trust God mostly. But I bet if I was willing to do a survey, that there'd be a large percentage of people listening to this right now, if I said, be really honest, do you trust God with everything? Very, very, very few people would be able to say yes. And I'm including myself on that. I don't trust God with everything. I'm trying to. Some days I do better than others. But it's a walk. It's a journey. It's hard. And it's hard sometimes to walk with God for the whole season. It's hard sometimes to trust God for that whole season, because that takes a lot of discipline. And that's part of that analogy of the vineyard, that you have to stick with God for the long run, because sometimes it gets really hard to follow God. But God never gives up on us. In fact, even those hard times, God is still sending people into our life, sending situations into our life to remind us how much he loves us. You know, in this gospel, you're going to hear about this parable. There's a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a hedge around it, dug a wine press. So he went through the whole process of building it the right way, built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went away on a journey. But when the vintage time drew near, they have to go out and get all the grapes. He sent his servants to the tenants to obtain the produce. But the tenants seized the servants and they beat one, they killed one, they stoned another. So then the landowner sends more servants and they treated them the same way. And then finally the landowner sends his own son, thinking they'll respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said, this is the heir. Let us kill him and acquire his inheritance. And obviously this is a parable that talks not only about Jesus as the son who comes, but all those who came in God's name ahead of time, the different prophets, the different patriarchs that God led forward, who were treated wrong, who were dismissed by the people of God, by the people of Israel. And God gives them a very stern warning. And he says, okay, if that's how it's going to happen, now the landowner goes and says, I'm going to put the wretched men out to a wretched death, and give the vineyard to other tenants who will produce produce at the proper times. Did you not read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, that Christ is our cornerstone? But this is really, really important. This is reminding us once again that God gives us everything we need and gives us every opportunity to do what's right, gives us every opportunity to follow him and to listen to him. In this first reading from Isaiah, we're reminded again, God says, look, like I created a vineyard here and I did everything I was supposed to do, but wild grapes came. So now what am I supposed to do? Well, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do now. I'm gonna tear down the vineyard. I'm gonna tear down the hedge. I'm gonna let animals graze there. I'm gonna break down the wall. I'm gonna let it be trampled. I'm gonna start over again. And he's saying this to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah. He's saying this at a time when they had not been faithful to God. He'd been faithful to them. He'd fulfilled his part of the promise. God had done everything right, but they were not faithful. And God, when he sends Isaiah, Isaiah is sort of like the last chance they had. He was speaking truth, and they still wouldn't turn their hearts. And God finally says, okay, fine. That's the way you want it. We're going to start over again. Not because I did anything wrong, but because you did. And what God is telling us this week is, listen, I've given you everything that you need to know me. What more would God need to do for you to trust him completely? Does he need to die for you? Because he did it. Does he need to rise for you? Because he did it. Does he need to give you a source of truth and of inspiration that leaves you not wondering how to live your life? Oh, he did it in the Bible. Does he need to give you an institution of people to help guide you in the modern world, to guard truth and to speak truth? He did it. The magisterium, the church, our bishops, our priests. Does he need to give you the constant assurance that he's with you? He did it. In the course of the Eucharist, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he's always with us. Does he need to give you constant access so you can always go to him? He does that in prayer. Does he need to give you strength and life so that you can be stronger than you are in your humanity, that you can resist the powers of evil? Yes, he does through his grace. What more does God need to do? Does he need to give you miracles so that maybe even the most skeptical scientific minds will believe that God exists, that there's something more than this world? He does it. Does he need to give you examples of heroic men and women who have gone before us and able to live a life of grace, who cheer us on and pray for us and give us examples of what we're able to become? He did it in the communion of saints. God does not leave us wanting. He's given us every single thing we need. And in doing so, that should put to death any anxiety we have. In doing so, that should give us great peace. And that's what St. Paul was telling the people in Philippi. Don't be anxious. By prayer and by thanksgiving, realize that the peace of God surpasses all understanding and will guard your heart and your mind. Whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's holy or gracious, hold on to those things. Keep those things. My brothers and my sisters, God does not leave you wanting. He's given you everything you need and more, not just to know him, but to become a saint. He's given you everything you need and more. And even when those people around you in the world mistreat you, denounce God, disrespect God and the gifts that God has entrusted to them, like those tenants in the vineyard, he's going to keep sending you into the world because he knows that his life and his love and his mercy are stronger than the powers of darkness and the powers of selfishness. My brothers and my sisters, he's left you in need of nothing. And the only thing separating you and I from sainthood today is us. He's given us what we need. There's work to do in the vineyard. Let's roll up our sleeves and get out there. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.